Balls, NBA Betty, let's get it. So I want to address some crazy rumors out there. Like LaVine and Murray. LaVine and Murray still got to figure it out, all right, with the respective teams. So, again, this is like lesson in life, but all this stuff. So it's not about winning or losing the trade. It's about doing what's best for your franchise. So what these teams have constantly been doing, Atlanta's been doing it. They did it with Collins. They did it with Murray. And by the way, they're going to do it with Trae Young in a couple of years, if not sooner. Just laying that out there. Is, yes, they finally realize who the player they need to get rid of. Who's I don't want to use the word cancer, but, you know, who's the talent that by removing him, it would then enhance everybody else, and then I think they can only step forward after they remove that. And there's a bunch of guys on this list. Look, Minnesota with Karl-Anthony Towns is on that list. Minnesota's playing great, so that masks it a little bit. But if Minnesota's smart, they move Towns well now. The 62-point game that Towns had is a perfect example to Karl-Anthony Towns. He's going to put up great numbers. But at the end of the day, when he's doing his best, and, you know, he still has some, you know, selfish tendencies that a year, whatever, you're 10 for him. He is who he is. And you have other talents that you need to rebuild around, right? But I think so that's been diagnosed, said to death. All of that. Not discussing anything new. Okay. But the same case is going on with Atlanta. That's Murray. And by the way, it's Murray and Young. Murray actually exacerbated the whole problem because they haven't they should have diagnosed that it was Young. It's not. Okay, Chicago LaVine, same problem. And those are the three guys to me. Now, Minnesota's fine of those teams. They're probably going to wait to move Towns if they move him at all. They're going to see what they do in the playoffs, right? But I think, you know, it also depends on, this is weird, what Finch does, right? And, you know, that's going to be more or less a what they're going to do there, right? Now, look, if I'm Minnesota, I got a clear cap, okay? And to re-sign my guys like Connelly Anderson, I would try to keep that bad boy going. I want to have more flexibility. You're not going to have it with Gobert. You can't move him, and I'm not saying it's worth it or not. They're obviously, he's part of the identity. So is Edwards. Towns the guy that has to go. Let's see if they realize that. But here's my issue with Atlanta, with Murray, Chicago, with LaVine, right? Like, they are holding a crazy high bar for it. And I think, like, look, you look around the league, yes, Masai Ujiri, I think, more or less learned from his mistakes a couple years ago where he hung on to Fred VanVleet, you know, too long and then lost him for nothing in free agency. You don't want to repeat that. But you could make the argument, well, he hung on to OG and he got good value, and he hung on to Siakam and he got good value. I'll flip those a little bit. He got good value for OG because OG is good. All right, let's just, he's a winning player. Teams figured it out, and there was a perfect fit for him in New York, and they got a great package from that. They got Quickly, Barrett, and you know, picks. We get it. Okay. Siakam, I would argue, you know, they did sell him at his peak, right? I think also because he was a pending free agent, he had to stay with the team. They got okay value. Okay. And I equate it to like when Orlando moved Gordon. They had to move Gordon at the time, Gordon was young. And they got decent value. My issue with Atlanta Chicago is that I feel like they need to win the trade. That's the wrong mentality. They need to give themselves a deadline. They have to unload these guys. And they got to do it by this deadline, or else the issue is not going to solve itself. Atlanta is not going to get better unless they move Murray. They figure it out without Murray. Then they could. And Atlanta is a problem right now because Atlanta has to do two assessments. They have to almost assess their roster without Murray. Chicago's already done that without LaVine. So this framework of Chicago now has legs. So if you played a full season, they'd be a top eight, but they at least have some youth. They would, you know, have a framework. One of the big pieces of Chicago is the emergence of Kobe White outside of living in LaVine's shadow. That's what happens. When you get rid of a guy that has high usage, you don't lose the usage, okay? So LaVine, is when he's in the game, is giving you 28% usage. someone that usage gets reallocated elsewhere. It's forced to. Okay, and then the question becomes, is that 28% better off feeding other players? And the answer to Chicago's case is yes. Then on the flip side, you don't get Levine's poor defense. So you're already improving defensively. So net-net, it is an improvement. Now, Atlanta, it's actually not as drastic, right? Atlanta's situation is a little more unique. Because Chicago, they are better without Levine, period. So it is a bonus. Now, what they get back, you know, bears to be seen. Again, if I'm them, I'm working with the Lakers. Who knows if they want him? Levine's market value has cratered. Now they'll flirt him with Detroit. I don't think Detroit should look at him. His value is not strong. Murray, on the other hand, is actually shown that he's decent without Young. So Atlanta, in my opinion, does have that question of Young or Murray. And they are choosing Murray, which is fine. Young is better than Murray. I want to be clear. It's not like who's better. It's that based on the return you're going to get, what team post-return of either talent would be better? Is it Murray plus the Young return or Young plus the Murray return? The problem with Murray right now is people realize he's kind of like smoke and mirrors. He looks like a good defender. He's actually not that good of a defender. He's rail thin. It's a problem. He needs to have the highest usage in the unit, which is not going to work on a lot of teams. And they're asking price, though, for him is reasonable. So that's the thing. Atlanta, I think, is going to be successfully able to move off Murray because their asking price is, I think, quite reasonable. They're going to get somewhere there. He's younger, but again, he needs to be the highest usage guy. So if you're a team looking to get him, like the Lakers, that's not a great decision because, again, play off the ball, I don't know. To me, the team that makes the most sense for Murray right now that, in theory, could maybe go after him, I'm not sure if it makes sense, is probably Brooklyn. Okay, you put Murray there, now you got something cooking with Murray, Bridges, it works, right? The problem with Brooklyn is you sacrifice a lot of off-the-ball talent. And for me, if I'm Brooklyn, by the way, I would frame a deal around Cam Johnson. I think there's something there, okay? But that's besides the point. That's what I would probably do. They're not playing Cam Thomas or whatever, but I don't think you need Cam Johnson's good, but they just signed a decent contract. I don't think you need Cam Johnson. That would be the framework for me, a Murray, Cam Johnson, other pieces, maybe there's a pick there, whatever. That's a framework. They're not talking, but his value is so low right now that I think if I'm Brooklyn, I actually need that. I need a high-usage point guard so I take advantage. Fine. But again, rail thin. But here's my issue. Will Atlanta pull the trigger? So if I'm Atlanta, and I think they were close, and I think they're going to pull the trigger with the Lakers, and they didn't want Russell. Which to me, like, look, do I try to flip Russell? Sure. But I probably would have just done that and put Russell as sixth man and figured it out. You know, can Young and Russell put together? I don't know. But can I get a better package? That is also a good question. Can I get a better package? My issue is not so much with Atlanta necessarily, but they have to unload him. They have to unload Murray. This is going to be a horrible situation to quit Snyder going into a playoff, potentially. Let's see even of that at this stage. And they can't evolve right now. They have to cut their losses with Murray. And there is a little bit of loss aversion because they paid so much for Murray, and obviously his value is now discounted since then. You know, it's like when you're buying an item for 10 grand and you're like, oh, this is crappy, and now it's worth 7. You don't need it. You're worse off without it. But you feel like you're losing 3 grand because you bought it for 10, now you're selling it for 7. Same as the case of Murray. They paid, what, 3 firsts for him. Now they could barely get 1. It's a decent loss. But sometimes you gotta accept it and you gotta move on. Okay, kudos to the Knicks for doing that. But again, Atlanta does not have to win the trade; they have to unload this guy. Okay, Chicago to me is a far more problematic scenario than Atlanta with Levine. And I'll just say this: I'm not gonna get Levine's a talent. I get it, but I think what he's shown in his career is he's best. And I'll give you the examples: he's best when he's surrounded by defense, and he's the number one usage guy in the unit. Those teams could flirt with some success. Okay, Chicago, when he was paired with Chris Dunn early on, his first couple of years in Chicago, post that Minnesota deal, looked good. Okay, when DeRozan's out and Vucevic is out, then he's the only guy in the unit, looks great. When it's him, Drummond, Patrick Williams, Caruso, units do well. Derek Jones Jr. with him, he looks good. So, again, he could be the number one usage guy in a unit with defenders. Again, the team, it's not going to happen because they already got Terry Rozier. But Miami would have made the most sense. That would have been the move. Actually, that would have been a good fit for both, right? The same package had Miami traded for Charlotte. I probably would have taken if I'm Chicago, maybe a little bit more. I would have wanted Hero, obviously. But if I could swap, if I'm Miami, I swapped Hero for LaVine, there's something there. The issue now is Miami's off the table. The Lakers already flirted with Murray. Who wants LaVine now? So I know Detroit could be in a bit of a desperate situation. Do they commit Blake Griffin 2.0? Okay. Do they say, look, we want to have some relevance of talent. This is Troy Weaver trying to save his job. That would be very problematic. He does not fit. It would set them back years in their rebuild. Years. And you have to do it all over again after you move him eventually. His value will not increase. It's a big problem. So, yeah, I think Chicago's asking price is insane. They've already said it. They're like, oh, yeah, we want an expiring, a youth. And they put like Cade, Duren, Ivy Thompson. What are we talking about here? Do you understand? Like, they're so off with LaVine's value is my problem. And that I think Chicago won't trade him. If Chicago's asking price is expiring an amazing youth piece and a pick, we're far off. Okay? Now, the deal I would have loved to do, but I don't think it's not even there, would have been Russell Reeves in a first. If you're Chicago, you won't even get that. Okay? So stop it. Just stop this nonsense. You'd be lucky to get Russell and a first. Now, they think he's worth a young asset plus a first on top of that. That, to me, is what he's worth. Now, for the right team, it makes sense. That, to me, is even value, right? But now Miami's off the board. You got to be careful with Chicago. You're losing buyers. Who else now is gonna really make this run? I would have thought, okay, maybe some teams take a risk, right? Some teams say we're kind of clomped, particularly out west. We're kind of clomped in this, like, mix of tier two teams. Maybe we take a risk here. And we could play, put him in a situation where he's like clearly the third guy and whatever, right? So to me, here are those teams. And I'm not saying I would do them if there was the teams. I think Sacramento's one. Again, I think I could crater for Sacramento. I think it's a risk. You ask Mike Brown, you're like, look, you could make LaVine the number one option. You have Fox and Sabonis. You move Herder and Barnes, right? You get LaVine and, I don't know. Whatever, figure it out. But you also have Chris Duarte playing minutes, so you can have basically Sabonis, Murray, let's say Duarte, LaVine, Fox. That's an interesting team. Huge risk for Sacramento. Again, LaVine's contract, not light. Not light. Not easy on the eyes, that contract. And you take a step back defensively, and you're hoping in a playoff series, which, by the way, like, has LaVine played in the playoffs? Like, we don't even know that, right? He hasn't played. What would the fit be? And then you got to do that midseason, and you got to acclimate a guy like that. He's not plug and play either. You have to acclimate him to your team. That's going to huge risk. It's like a Russell Westbrook situation, right? Huge risk for the team taken. So Sacramento, I could see, but like I wouldn't do it. The other team, maybe New Orleans. And New Orleans to me is a sort of consolidation thing. Too many assets, too much youth. Is there a consolidation play here? And my knock there is probably not, because you have too many guys that need the ball, right? You're going to have Williamson, Ingram, and McCollum. They already need the ball. Your offense is not the problem. They already score a billion points a game. The problem is defense, quite frankly. And all those guys I noted are just offense-only guys, and they don't really integrate well. And now I'm going to throw – it already doesn't work anyway with the current roster. I'm going to throw a LaVine action in here. That's a little crazy. So I don't think that's realistic either. Okay? Now, do the Clippers go for broke? No. But my problem is, even if they did, do the Bulls actually even move him for like a Terrence Mann? So if they don't, we're so far apart. We're so far apart. That's my concern. They were floating out names, I heard, Chicago was Philippine. Like Darius Garland? Do you know the value of your talent? It's not as high as you think it is. And I think Chicago's in a heap of trouble. They're going to keep LaVine. They're gonna try to make Fetch happen, right? It's not going to happen. It's just not. And now they got DeRozan as a penny free agent. And my issue with Chicago is they lucked into it. They didn't. No one needed to tell them the answer. They lucked into it. LaVine got hurt, and lo and behold, they played a ton better. The results told them the answer. They didn't have to analyze. It just told them. Like, that's the best way. It's kind of like in football, where you're like, okay, which quarterback's better? And then one of the quarterback goes down, and then you get this new a backup or whatever is in, and then you play much better. It's like Brady or Bledsoe. That was pretty easy. Pretty easy decision. Well, I don't know. We were like 1-4 with Bledsoe, 1-3. He goes down. Brady doesn't lose a game. Huh. I wonder. It's not always that complicated. I mean, you know, obviously, there's some unique scenarios here and there. But it's not always that complicated. LaVine goes down. LaVine's there. You're playing like a 400 team. LaVine goes out. You play like a 500 team. He's the only change. You're better without him. And now you're trying to strong arm. Everyone else saw this too, by the way. They still like LaVine's value. And I get it. It's loss aversion. You're like, well, last year his value, you know, we could have gotten him at 100 and now he's worth an 80. Okay. It's going to continue to go down though. People have now it's been exposed. And look, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think Chicago's going to mess this up. I don't know who the buyer is. Unless a team gives them, throws them a bone. And they have to look for a silly team, like a Detroit, you know, like any of these other teams. So that's my issue there. And I'm hoping nothing else happens. What happened?